And we need to elect the acting chairperson. So if it doesn't come, then the board will come to the meeting. And then in the meantime, I will request members to nominate the person who So Mr. Kumede, Honorable Khalil has moved that it would be elected chairperson to the chairman by Ms. Dabosa. Can you please come and
members and stakeholders who are here.
On this matter, Chair, all what I can say now, DG will lead us with the presentation because it involves quite a lot of coordination. But what we are looking at this stage is how to improve the regulatory framework. First, it is here and assisting those who want to implement or participate in it. Our role is really limited to port of entry in terms of determination of port of entry. And we work with the stakeholders in implementing the operations once those determinations are done. In that respect, then, because you know, Honorable Kumede, I'm a relatively new minister. I'm still looking at those deep regulatory frameworks on how we improve them. And because our legislation says they must have regulations, and that's what will be coming to you back in the future once those regulations are clarified and finalized. But at this stage, that allows the DG to give the progress, because the request was about progress reporting in the implementation. It looks like the progress is being made after interacting. I'm told the shared view of after the year and the other health departments. But I'll allow DG, I think you'll make this presentation not just on behalf of Home Affairs, of all the stakeholders who have been engaging on how to resolve this issue. Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, Chair and honourable members. Indeed, as Minister has indicated, there's been some work that has been undertaken since the last time we were in the committee. So this presentation will take into consideration all the work that has been done in relation to this matter. I think in terms of the purpose is just to provide the committee on with the status report on the request for the conclusion of an agreement between Home Affairs and Fireblade. Chair, as a way of background, I just want to indicate that on the 17th this year, we got a request, 7th of January this year, from the Chair, who requested that we provide a status report on the conclusion of an agreement between the DHA and Fireblade in order to regularize the operations, which obviously requires that we engage all the stakeholders in that port of entry, because our view is that one department obviously may not conclude an agreement where it pertains to the mandate of the other departments, because in the port of entry, various departments have got their own mandates, for SARS, agriculture, forestry and fisheries, and so forth. So, and also a response to a parliamentary question on the 6th of November last year, the Minister indicated that the department would initiate a consultation process, which obviously will culminate to the development of a policy framework. Because at that time, we needed to ensure that there must be clear clarity in terms of who was responsible for what. So in order to regularize, obviously, the department's presence at the FBO facility, clarity was sought in relation to the legal and policy framework of the stakeholder departments, as well as of which department should be the lead department in this regard. So that since the Department of Transport is responsible for the licensing of aerodromes and coordinating requests for international status by airports, the clarity was specifically sought on the specific licensing conditions of the FBO facility at a meeting that was held between the officials of respective departments on the 29th of November 2018. Indications were that the FBO facility is covered by the aerodrome license granted to Airports Company to operate Oantambo. So the Department of Transport then undertook to investigate the approvals granted by the entities under their control, the scope of the aerodrome license issued to AXA at Oantambo, whether the AXA has the authority to extend the license to a third party, and what is the implication thereof of Oantambo as a national key. We also had a further meeting which was chaired by myself on the 12th of December last year, where Departments of Transport Health were present, as well as SARS. At this meeting, Department of Transport confirmed that there would be the lead department in this matter. And then in January this year, I also convened a meeting with the directors of Fireblade, where in that meeting we then you know, indicated that we will continue to render the services at the farm-based facility as per the court order. But also we have made a proposal that farm-based aviation actually should conclude an agreement between the stakeholders, which is now under the old PCOCC, which we now call Port Management Committee, and the Airports Company South Africa. As far as it comes part of our Tambo present. So this agreement between the Port Management Committee and AXA would cover the operations at Farblade. So basically what we're saying is that currently we have this agreement with Farblade where they pick up the tab for the presence of Home Affairs. In this regard, we're saying that when the Port Management Committee therefore concludes an agreement to say that with AXA, to allow AXA to operate an additional terminal, which is Farblade terminal, therefore, as all stakeholders, we then would have written an agreement to offer the services in that particular terminal. So we are then undertook after our meeting with Farblade to engage COG and AXA on the matter. We then met on the 7th of February with DOT and AXA, and the following was confirmed and agreed. One, that the Farblade FBO facility does not require separate designation as a port of entry by Minister of Home Affairs and other competent ministers, since it falls within the Old Tambo precinct, hence it is covered by the AXA license and designation. The second agreement was that the agreement for entering immigration and other border control will be concluded between AXA and the owners of Farblade, if legally possible. AXA will investigate and obtain a legal opinion on the implications of on the sublease approved by the facilities, sorry, for the facility by AXA, and entered into by the NEL. So just to clarify, the agreement that Farblade had is with the NEL. The NEL is subleased, therefore they were called the facility from AXA. So the question, you know, in the discussion was whether actually AXA can take over that agreement so that it becomes a five-day AXA agreement. And then AXA said to the PMC, we now have an additional terminal at the port of entry which has already been designated. We would therefore want you to extend your services in that particular area. So that was the decision that was reached. So since it has been confirmed that 5 days fall within the present covered by the aerodrome license granted to AXA, the FBO should be dealt with just as another terminal within the airport, which is covered by the designation of what number is the defense. Similarly to the Department of International Relations Corporation's VIP facility at the same airport. The Department of Transport will develop policies relating to and oversee the implementation of segmented passenger services to high-end customer at international airports, taking into account of the readiness of the border control departments to service the facility. Again, as the point that Minister was raising, in terms of Section 9A of the Immigration Act, obviously Home Affairs designated port of entry, I think the Minister was saying we definitely need to be clear in terms of what the Act says in the prescribed manner. So we need to, in our regulation, be specific on those requirements. So in relation to that, we then recommend that the portfolio committee take note of the outcomes of the stakeholder engagement and the way forward agreed to by all the parties in relation to this matter. Mm-hmm. Chair, I would, if they would agree, of the Farblade, AXA, and the transport should be here. They could, well, this is a sort of a joint position that is shared by the parties. They could either confirm and the committee so that it's on record. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Does any one of the stakeholders want to make a comment? Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Chair and members. I wasn't present at the meeting between Home Affairs and Farblade where this was discussed, but I can confirm, as I've been informed, that exactly as the acting DG has reported, that was agreed by the parties to be the way forward. And we at Farblade very much look forward to the discussions with AXA and the DOT to settle this matter. And it seems logical and correct that that is to us that that is the way to go. Thank you.
Last point.
Thank you. Chair, and good morning to honourable members. I think we can confirm that the Department of Transport, what the DG presented, nothing but the honourable truth. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I am Moni Mopo, the acting CEO of the Airports Company South Africa. With me, I have the Chairman of the Board, Mr. Advocate Sanjay Nobina, for the COO of ACFA, Mr. Tebe, Airport Management Executive, Andre Armelin, and of course, the Company Secretary of ACFA, Sefika Zifaro. I would like to confirm for the record, Chair, as well, that the presentation conducted by the Department of Home Affairs is indeed accurate and correct, and we were part of the meeting, and the conclusion that has been agreed upon us has been agreed with all parties present. Thank you.
Okay. So, our role is just to make sure that the resources of the state are properly managed, human resources, facilities, that there is security is implemented as it should, that immigration is implemented as it should, that environment is implemented as it should, that health requirements are implemented as they should, that national security is implemented as it should, and that it is in line with the government policy. So that is mainly the role of oversight. So over to you, Honourable Chair.
Understand that there's a problem in terms of staffing
shortage of staff. So I don't know, did you discuss those matters? Because what is important here is the make sure that there's no risk in the national security. So I to me, they just discussed the operational issues, but I think they should have gone through the issues of the security. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to inquire on just two aspects, please. The first one is that while you're working towards concluding an agreement, what is the intention of the department on the term of that agreement? Does that mean that finally we'll have the opportunity to operate at Ortambo for the rest of its life, or will there be an opportunity at a later stage for other FBOs to also compete on an equal basis to be able to do the similar thing? The second thing is, I recall last year there was a comment that was made by the department on challenging the constitutionality of whether or not the department can enter into such agreements around ports of entry or something. I don't remember the full details around it, but I do recall that there was an attempt to approach the Constitutional Court on that. What's the status of that application? Are you now going to abandon that? If you're not going to abandon it, then it would mean that you might find yourself in a difficult position at this stage if the court agrees with the position that the department took previously. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair.
I think I'm quite covered by my colleagues and other questions that they have asked. Because I wanted to know, DG, the time frame, because we have gave you a clear mandate as a committee that you need to go and work on the time frame. So your presentation does not even clarify the issue of the time frame. And also on your presentation, on your meeting on 25, 2019, January, you also indicated that the department will continue to run the services. As far as I remember, Chairperson, not the interim chair, but the original chair of the committee. When we went to do the the oversight, the committee was so dissatisfied about the role of the department in the facility there. And we requested the department to make sure that they must come back to the committee and just to satisfy us with what exactly are you doing as your role as the department. And we're with you, DG. You were also the DDG by the time, so now we are in acting DG. But we were with you when we, as a committee, made it very clear to you that it seems as if the fire blade is operating on its own here. And as Mam Damoza was alluding to the fact that the security risk is very important here. So now, when you just go to a meeting with all other stakeholders, and AXA is here as well. But just to tell them that the department will continue to render services to the fireplace, that is your minute, that is your meeting with stakeholders. But here, the point here in this committee, we still need to know how far have you gone as a department. The current minister was not there. And I'm sure we still have to go back and satisfy ourselves about this issue. Because Honourable Member Hussein is saying that about this matter, Minister, there is a lot. We also discussed this thing when the former Minister was here to say that this thing also is a court case judgment. It's a result of the court case. And because there were so many ministers now, I can't remember which one, because when this thing was on the domain, we also wrote to the Minister to say that can't you challenge this thing? Until we found out that Minister Maluti Kikaba lie under the court. So this matter is a political matter, so we must not take it lightly, DG. So when you go and engage with different stakeholders, but you must bear in mind that the committee still needs to get some more answers, especially on the operation of the fireplace. Because that thing, Minister, is not even inside the OR. It's far away from the OR, from the airport itself. It's far away, it's like 15 to 20 minutes. And all along, we made to understand what is this fireplace is within the OR. But when we went there to do exactly the physical inspection, we found out, no, this thing is far away. This thing has been operating on its own. So we even asked a question like, okay, since the Department of Home Affairs is not here physically, so how do you know if there is a plane that is coming from another country? We are told that no, they just told us. So the schedule of the fire plane does not talk to the Department of Home Affairs. We wait for them to tell us what there is a plane that will be landing it to. So please send SAPS, send Home Affairs officials, send whoever. So we said, no, there is a gap there. We can't allow that in our country. So the immigration is being compromised. So I'm saying my point, PG, there is a lot that is still for us as a committee to satisfy ourselves. Also, the thing of the memorandum of understanding. We don't know if we just agree with them, they are going to operate for the rest of their lives, or what is happening. So, Chairperson, okay, this thing needs a meet. We need to get more meat about this fire plate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And what the presentation that you did, especially emanating from the meeting that was held on the 7th February 2019, on all those discussions, I mean these discussions, and there are no kind of agreement in that regard. When was the 7th? I think it was last week. But I'm really worried about, you know, how goods and passengers are being processed there at the fire plate. So on all this discussion, and the recommendation is only one line, that the PC on Home Affairs please take cognizance of the outcome of the stakeholder engagement and the way forward agreed to all parties. When are we going to get, you know, proper kind of concrete, conclusive agreements? I thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I don't want to dwell in the same question because my colleagues have already covered it. But my concern is about the conclusion of this meeting. And is Home Affairs going to be involved again in the oncoming meetings? Secondly, we've got a presentation from Fire Ministry. I don't know if it's still going to go on. It looks very beautiful. And as the fire plate has been active in asking Home Affairs to meet them about the Afghanistan. Now, I am concerned, Chairperson, I would like to ask if we can have the minutes of the meeting or the conclusion agreement between the stakeholders. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. Most of my questions have been asked, but last week I was asked, I think, one major question. Not in the private passenger services at OR Tango International Airport. Is the current fees and leases between public and government services open and competitive? Because we know that, as we know that, public is a private passenger service and social care. Secondly, maybe my question has been asked also. I don't know whether I described the way I wanted to ask it. On the 17th of January 2019, the committee requested a copy of the signed agreement by both parties. Is there a copy now ready for the committee? Thank you.
Okay, let us. There are issues on security, resources, permanence, more information, the data of the agreement, and so on. But as we look at the early agenda, some of these things may be cross-cutting the different stakeholders that is in the area and the Kruger National Park, the Kruger International Airport. Do we first finish with the fire brigade and then go to the others, or perhaps are they having totally different assemblies?
Colleagues, my real apology on that, because in my last 25 years of service, Parliament, for the first time I arrived late. If you look at the agenda, we have sort of package both Lanseria and the Kruger Institution. But we really would not want to cloud Fire Bay with the other efforts. What is important will be to all of us have a common understanding. Common understanding of the role of the state in driving the efforts. Both Kruger, Lanseria, and this is informed by nothing else. You recall that during our engagement with Fireplay, that has led to a serious tension when they discovered some kind of a parcel that was to fly out of the country. By then, the Gupta, whatever, populated the business. And that parcel was then detected by the fire brigade. They could not even have an opportunity to search that parcel, and it was then removed from the airport. And the plane that was at the fire brigade at the time, it flew to Lanseria. From Joburg it went to Lanseria, and that packet was able to leave the country by Lanseria. Now, what I deal with, I think Honourable Mede raised this point, and members, that it is not only about the safety, it's about the security of the country. That we have this arrangement of private individuals who operate there, the state goes there, perform and provide safety. And all the services, we don't find any agreement between the state and the private. The decision that we took will give the department a month to come back to us, neither to write to the committee that they are still stuck or they are still consulting. It is only today, 5 months down the line, that we are back again, having to deal with this matter. Now we are raising this thing now that the minister is here, that what we will then do will be to request this other role players who happen to run the because we are again informed that it's only fire planes that is being to Home Affairs of about 100,000. And the information we received was that in other airports they don't even pay a cent, right? And therefore what necessitated the fire planes to pay when others are not paying? It's something that we want to understand. But the point again is, at what level is here in engaging with other are the director general, the ministers involved with those departments around this particular event? You recall when we met with the stakeholders at the airport, at the fire plane, it was really at the junior level of people with you. Neither the commissioner of staff, neither the department of health, neither the police. It was at the lowest level where this matter was dealt with. And therefore, comes this gap. Even for those individuals to sign on behalf of the department. It's not mandated to sign the contract. Now, we want to hear from the department at what level are you engaged around this issue? Are the director general involved? Is the commissioner of staff involved in the process? So that we are very clear as parliament that the matter is being attended. We will not want to put a blame to fair place now. They got the court order. The court order says we need the director to properly. So there is this fight for them, that's the only problem. Business is moving on. The more you delay the state, nothing stops the fire, they continue doing their way. Now we want to get this situation answered now. AXA and the role of AXA at a national key point. Mm-hmm. Well, Tambo is not the airport somewhere in Kuruma. The national key point. So the activities of that national key point had to be properly regulated, Either it's outside, it's not, it's within the airport. Whatever we're dealing with is within the airport, therefore the security of the country becomes very critical. Now you want us to engage at that level. That's the level that we want to engage. That the Department of Transport, you know, that, well, no, we don't care with what the department has said, so we don't care. You have a responsibility there, transport, to tell us when you enter and facilitate this kind of arrangement, where do you stand on this thing? Home Affairs is not the leader. It's not the leader. Home Affairs does not own the facility. Home Affairs does not own it. Home Affairs provides immigration services in a condition that is properly regulated. Right? So I think members, what members have asked will be responded to immediately after those responses. Let's get Kruger and let's get Nanseri. Just to talk to us about the activities and the involvement of the state around the activities. That part, then we'll have a full understanding of what they're dealing with. And I think this is what is important. And again, to assist Minister Twele, generally, he was never involved in such matters, but he understands the issue of security, the Minister of Security. So he understands when we raise issues of security, what we mean, right? So we want to do that exercise. And this meeting is meant for that. So let's get to the responses of members. Then let's immediately allow just a brief, because I insisted when the committee secretary was saying that Lanseria and the Kruger, they were saying they're not available to come to Parliament because of they say short notice. Yeah. They said it's short notice. Parliament calls it short notice. Okay. Now we're giving you almost 10 days to prepare. Minister, they said, no, it's short notice, you can't come. Because they know they're in charge. They run those things. The state doesn't provide it. Now, we have to find a way today. So let's allow the department to present those points. If there are questions that came to answer, they may come back. But I want transport to really talk to us. Both transport and AXA must talk to us. Tell, again, the role of the NED, but that facility now and the ownership of that facility. The contract between Fireblade and department is something else. The contract between AXA, and the Fireblade, who owns that facility? I think we have to get to that level, get to know who owns the facility, so that you are very clear when it comes to consensual arrangement of the lease and all of that, we are very clear. Where the state comes in, we must be clear that these are services that are provided by the state within a particular policy framework that allows the state to provide such services. So I thought that members, just to come in with my late coming, just to sort of bring back these issues. So number two and three are just the same. But I think out of that, we'll then have a general understanding. And then as we shape that contract, we may shape it on the basis of some of the arrangements that are in place. Or in Australia and Kruger, the state just goes there, provide the service. No arrangement, there's nothing. But Fireblade, when on the other side, is made towards what? To pay, even to pay for services that are being provided. Not sure that people are only at Home Affairs, other departments. You have health there, you got police there, you got agriculture there. Other departments who are working there, are they getting a benefit out of that? Meaning that are they receiving any payment from Fireblade that was going to be sometimes unfair, maybe to say that only Fireblade must pay when the rest of the people are receiving a service without even getting paid, without even paying the state, right? And the obligation, the officers that we send there, the insurance and the support, if anything happens to an immigration officer at Lanseria, who takes responsibility on what contract they were doing that for? So this thing may not be smaller, we may look at it smaller, but I think it's a clear thing that it has to be. So transport will have to help us. After at the level of hosting that international, what's called a national chief, when they will have to talk to us about the details of the operations and understanding how you arrive at such a meeting. Okay. So I thought that I should intervene not to divert the meeting, but just to highlight two areas that require our attention. We are lawmakers here. I mean, Parliament cannot be. Just to say thank you very much. we're giving you another 7 months go. The term of parliament is coming to an end in the next 8 weeks. And our plan is to make sure that by the time we leave here, the incoming parliament will find some kind of a solid day recommendation that we'll have to put for them so that they can then proceed to the government as well. If parliament goes to the term end, and there's nothing that we're going to do, they're going to start, they may not even want to follow the thing, they'll not even understand. Right? So for the benefit of both the fireplace, the AXA, and level board, I think all of us, for the benefit, to make sure that everything that we do is within the law. And that clear prescribed laws that govern such policies. Thank you. So in response to questions to the members of us, we'll then get to the presentation quickly. Can there was 5 minutes of presentation from the Lanceria and then the CUDA. 5 minutes just to talk to us what is the opposition. And then CUDA can then be ready.
Okay, so the fire brigade is going to respond to the members and to the chairperson.
Do you
need
to
have a
No, thank you very much, honorable members and chair. Obviously, there might be certain questions that the colleagues might have to answer in relation, for example, to the actualization of the contract that is signed with the internet, but I will get into that. Chair, the question that asked by Honorable Tambuza is quite pertinent. We're not delegating the responsibility of immigration services to anybody else. Two, the issue of national security is a point that's quite pertinent. That is why when we operate a port of entry, I think that is why we have what we call the Port Management Committee, because there's multiple stakeholders and companies that must fulfill a certain obligation. Ours is to ensure that, one, people arrive at a designated port of entry that is designated by the Minister of Association and Immigration Act. That's 9A. The second part is that we need to ensure that there are systems in place, your movement control, that record the arrival of those passengers with the relevant documentation. That part has not been relegated to anybody else. Then you have other parties like the health, they need to ensure that the people do not bring, you know, any sickness into the country that might be catastrophic. The goods that get into the country, whether they pay the custom duties, whether they are not contraband or all those things, so SARS will play that particular role. So the coordination obviously remains in that particular area. Now, when we talked about transport, in this instance, what we said is that many of the facilities that are international airports currently in South Africa are under the AXA, the AXA, authority of AXA, which is the agency of the Department of Transport. So our view is that if a similar arrangement, for example, this old camp where AXA says to us, no, this is not a new port of entry, it's a terminus, right? So if we think that we therefore cannot get into in a discussion around the terminal, AXA must conclude that relationship in relation to a terminal and say to the Department of Home Affairs through transport that we've got a new terminal in this regard. So therefore the terminal needs 1, 2, 3 services. And then as a port management committee, that obviously is thing has to be made, because that is why when the court instructed us to go to Fireplace, we could not go alone. We had to write to the SARS commissioner. We had to write to the Department of Health, the NDG, and wrote all those letters requesting them to be present in order for us to give effect to the court ruling, because we could not be there on our own, because if we are there on our own, it means we have not ticked all the boxes that must be ticked in order for that port to be safe, secured enough in relation to the requirements for processing of passengers who arrive from international destinations. So that's the one point.
Can we get the Department of Transport on that note? Who's from the Department of Transport? At what level are you in the department? And what is your knowledge around the matters that you're dealing with? And what is your involvement in these matters?
Okay.
Thanks, Jefferson. I am a director responsible for strategic services in the DG's office. That is my level as an official, and also in terms of my interaction with this, I have been in part of the Department of Transport team in dealing with this matter with regard also in collaboration with our aviation police branch.
Since
last year, actually.
When you say last year,
when you were involved? I think as indicated by the DG of Home Affairs.
No, we want you to speak on behalf of transport. Let's leave Home Affairs aside for now. We want you to speak on record so that we are aware, as the Parliament Portfolio Committee, that the Department of Transport its involvement in this matter as follows. You are now accounting to Parliament's role, you are accounting to the Portfolio Committee of Parliament of Home Affairs around your activities as a department. Also, I wanted to hear your title first and want to know both your Director General and the Minister's involvement in the process, how you report this matter and what is the policy position of the department around these issues. You can just help us with that understanding. Designated by the Director General, meaning that you report to the Director General on the activity around this matter.
Chair, probably what is important is to maybe illustrate to the committee around our mandate as a department and also with respect to our agencies in this regard, AXA, ATNS, and also SACAR. I think it would be quite prudent for us to can illustrate that, because at a policy level and also at the legislation level, we are directly involved in developing policy and legislation for the country. And also with regards to AXA, they are the infrastructure manager. They are the ones that are responsible for contracting services in OR Tambo and also in the other international airports that they manage. I think in terms of the operations chair, I can indicate that role sits with the AXA, and also in terms of the air traffic control, that role sits with air traffic navigation services, and also with regards to SACAR in terms of licensing of pilots and the like, that role also goes to the Civil Aviation Authority.
Now the DG, at your level, as the Director General of Home Affairs, what are the Director Generals engaging with?
In the December meeting, the DG of Transport, Mr. Labisa, was in the meeting. At the last meeting on the 7th, he was supposed to come to the meeting, but he couldn't come into the Parliament present because the meeting was held at 120 Black Street. He was late in that meeting, so he then sent a representative to the gentleman that he was referring to. At the level of the SARS Commissioner, we are engaging on this issue with the SARS Commissioner directly with myself. So those are the two senior officials in those departments. And then, obviously, AXA, we're engaging them with the CEO and the CEO and the Director of Aviation.
Other departments are culture and health?
No, sir, I'm not engaged at the level of the DG, but there's been officials that have been attending to, but not at the level of the DG.
The same as what we saw at the airport. Meaning that, because where we're trying to fish this, we're trying to fish the direction. And I think Minister will understand why I'm raising this thing. Because at the level of accountability, the Director General becomes key when it comes to issues of contractual obligations and all of this policy. And the ministers will then have to rectify. I'm not sure that this becomes an arrangement that ends with the Director General. Ministers are not involved just in there. I just want to understand. You're dealing with the national key point, right? Minister, maybe you may want to help us based on the brief that we have received from the Director General of Home Affairs and their engagement. The official that spoke from transport is in the office of the director in the office
of the Director General is not the Director General. And other departments are not the minister. We are about to conclude and finalize a contract that will then deal with the issues of with the activities at the national level. You may want to help us so that all of us, because we're going to take a position again. When we close this meeting, we must make proper recommendations of what it is that must happen moving forward. So we're not attacking home affairs, but want to ignite the responsibility of our departments. You were cited and called me to the assembly block when the other players already like that they are participating. So yeah, that's, I think Minister can just help us just to package it proper so that we don't lose the essence of the engagement. It's one that the lawmaking, the creative authority, and the accountability lines at the level of the Director General. I mean, we're in Parliament, by the way. You expect, in fact, we're supposed to have invited all the ministers. We're responsible for that particular area of cooperation. So we'll then take the parameters.
Thank you, sir. I want to just speak just on the case at point, because I think that's a process point, which I've confirmed the process has not come to minister. It's still at the operational level. I'm sure they'll come with recommendations to the South and the council. But what has come, if I can just speak on relation of the Department of Home Affairs, what delays me and the DG chair, Tracy, was to clarify the regulatory framework. What's the role of Home Affairs in allowing an international port of entry? So those are the things we need to clarify. When we're looking at it, it's quite clear. Section 9 talks about it. But it talks about regulations, they have prescribed. And we're trying to get these regulations or update them. Because we're told there are old regulations, we're not sure about their applicability. So once that is done, this will give a clearer regulatory framework. When we're saying yes, allow international port of entry, these are the regulations of food and phone affairs. And it may help us to say, for us to grant us, so we need these departments, these stakeholders to be involved in that. The other piece of legislation which was going to be helpful, not necessary, completely solve the matter, is this DNA legislation, which is still in Parliament. I'll say, thank the National Assembly for passing it about 19 months ago. We still need to finalize the process in the NSOP. I'm engaging the Minister of Finance. The chief whip of the majority party was just phoning before I come here because they are worried about this. So as soon as we complete those engagements with the Minister of Finance and the issues they were raising, which I believe will solve, it's much easier because if you look at the that legislation, it talks about enforcement. Now, it talks about all these security measures, who will be responsible for what. And quite clearly, the port of entry is the responsibility of Home Affairs. At first, I think in the harbor, or issue post, we don't deal with those things. That those areas which are held by defense, that the sea line and the airspace. But in terms of air traffic, the Department of Transport, all these departments, whether it's defense, transport, they must coordinate at the BMA level. That's how we'll ensure the national security in terms of the plan and the policies of the country. That's how it's designed. I think the department has just been engaging on how to implement the policy. They were looking at the technical things, but we don't create a vacuum, or we are seen to be undermining the position of the court. But as soon as they do all those things, I'm sure they come back to the class as well as we put this policy, because we have to improve our regulations and policies to deal with such issues. Why should the person pay on port of entry and other one not pay? So it may be the condition which determines that.
say that one may stay here, one may not stay here, under what circumstances. So we need to be clear to all stakeholders, because I'm informed there are others who are waiting. Not me. I don't have an aircraft yet. to make similar applications. So the sooner we process this policy and clarity of policy, so that will avoid any confusion. And I'm quite sure if you call us at the cluster in a few weeks or months, we should have that time to consult and give the committee a more precise. But what they've been doing has been trying to not to be seen. We not supply our own best effort. I'll stop there at this stage, Shepherdson. Thank you.
I wanted the minister to give us the overall picture, just to look at the high level. What is this that we're doing? And clearly that here what the DG is talking about is trying to comply. These gaps that the minister spoke about now, those gaps need to be closed. And they generally means that even what you are trying to comply with may not be the final argument that you want to put over it. Now, that's why it's important, Minister, that this matter is dealt with at a level that is able to inform and to drive issues of compliance. We then said that part of what must be at the DAMA bill that is in the NCOP, because everything seems to be around that particular piece of legislation that is still not yet passed by the NCOP. Let's allow Lanseria to talk to us in 2 minutes. And let's allow Kruger to talk to us. I'm not sure if there's any other... Kruger is not here. Kruger is not here. Okay, that's fine. Let's get Lanseria is here. Can you just get someone just to talk to us, Lanseria? I think we'll have to pick up issues that we're dealing with, but just generally about if there's any arrangement between yourself and the state around the issue of your operations there and how they operate, how do they come to your space and all of that. We'll definitely appreciate that.
Good morning. Morning, Chair. Morning, members of Parliament, of subcommittee. My name is Ram Baramov. I'm the CEO of Lanseria International Airport. In terms of the agreement that we currently have with the government agencies, we only have one agreement with the Department of Public Works, and that's for the rental of the premises at Lanseria. And then all the other services that we provide to the department, we provide for free, including parking, internet network services, and so forth and so on. But we don't have a specific agreement with the Department of Foreign Affairs in terms of the provision of services as far as immigration control is concerned. We've been, at Lanseria, we've been licensed as an international airport since 1974, when the airport was owned by the then Krugersdorp and Bulgore municipalities. And as you're aware, with a private airport today, we've been privatized, or we privatized back in 1991 when the airport was sold to private investors. And subsequently in 2013, when the airport was sold to a consortium comprising of the PIC, Pan-African Infrastructure Development Fund, as well as the BE consortium led by Nazara Investments. It was back in 2013. So I've been involved with Lanseria since 2011. And as far as I'm aware, and as far as the team that have actually advised me and updated me on the relationship that we have with government so far, is that there is no, we're a dedicated port of entry, and ordinarily we'll have all the government services provided at the airport. We have the Department of Home Affairs, for instance. We have South African Police Services, the Border Police Unit. We have the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. We
company owns the Lanteria, and who are the people that own the Lanteria?
Yes.
Not Fireplace,
I'm Chairperson, is a consortium that comprises of three entities. The Public Investment Corporation, they own 37.5% of Lanteria, and then an infrastructure development fund, which is managed by a fund manager called Harris, that owns another 37.5%, and then a consortium of BEE entities, about four of them, led by Rosala Investment Holdings, that owns another 25%.
Thank you,
I think we still have to engage Chairperson. Thank you very much for your with the information. In fact, it was very well already indicated in your document. Chair, you know, the issue of the Department of Home Affairs being a custodian of the immigration service. When I was reading this document, to me, I don't find an active immigration unit that is operating in this airport. I don't want to talk about any other department. My concern is on the immigration, which has got to do with the national security. This airport is an international airport. Goes out of the country, flies out of the country, and comes back. And we find the custodian of the immigration services just processing passengers. How about that? Processing passengers. Is that the role of the Department of Home Affairs? Just to process. You don't do your due diligence in terms of the law, what you are supposed to be doing. I don't think processing is the mandate. There's quite a lot of issues that have to be undertaken by the department. So, Chair, I think this agenda, I know, Karen, I'm trying to check this, we still to engage so that we understand, maybe even the department does not understand clearly their mandate or their role in the at the port of entry. We still should start there, Chairperson. Thank you. And you
to respond to and I think we can then agree that we can then begin to based on what the minister has just said. What the minister was saying is that clearly that there are several gaps. We are not able to hire anything unless a certain, you know, legislative process is completed. On the interim, this time, what the director of the is trying to move to, you know, comply with the process, which means that we cannot be closed. It cannot be closed because. Because what you then find is that there are gaps in the legislation. So whatever that you try and do, it will never work, right? Now, the fire blade continues operating, things are happening, the problem is business. It's not enough. We at the state level, that's where we're talking, right? So we need to then agree of the process that must then happen. We still have to visit the issue of the public works. At the level, yeah, I'm not sure what's happening in Kruger,
you may find that Kruger is Department of Health. We don't know, right? You may find that we have an agreement with Department of Health.
No.
They are all the ministers. It's possible, but we would be agriculture in La Palma. So there is no proper coordination of such, right? And I think Home Affairs then begins to take a responsibility. Because the movement of specialism in the country, good then becomes yourself, you know, right? But Home Affairs, when it comes to movement of specialism, as part of it, it becomes quite very key. And that's a mandate. But we need to foster some proper relationships in place. So the concern of the committee, generally, is that the state provides the savings. That's why it's a private entity running into a small, and the state provides the savings there. Taxpayers are paying money. Taxpayers are interested, paying for the savings there. And the savings are not supported with the state. And when I talk of paying, I mean that those who are officers who are employed by the state, who are employed to provide the savings, they are paid by taxpayers. And if there's no proper regulations there, it becomes some kind of, and we can not even be able to really go over five particular goals. In your budget, there was more good when you budget. You budget general for immigration. You don't budget and say that part of it is to budget for fire people and service, right? You budget for the entire immigration department, and then you send it to the institute. They are outside the department of Home Affairs. Nothing has been said about the protocol, not been said about the protocol. So my take, therefore, is that a way forward that can work for us is maybe to agree at this level that the Minister of Home Affairs must be.
Sure.
Give leadership on this matter, convene the highest level of Director General and Minister. All role players, and I am happy that we hear how Lanceria articulate the role players. You know, you name them so well. But a person that was detected as a fireplace was able to live by Lanceria. Look, in our engagement with I'm not causing a war yet, but I'm raising a very serious concern about the security of the country. It cannot be just business as usual, but because you run a private hospital, either we then compromise our own security, our officers who are deployed in this area, the monitoring of them and making sure that they are funded. We may find that there's a gap. Wow, did that cartel manage to leave the country? Right? So for the issue of security minister becomes quite relevant. That as the very agent, in fact, this matter needs to be attended agent. So with that, I think I thought I should sort of begin to deal with some kind, but colleagues are still free to add into this way what we want to charge for the department, especially calling for the minister, current minister that we have here. And the point I was asking when I asked the Department of Transport, it was not maybe the school people respect you, it was for them to do the police. The Minister of Transport is supposed to be here. The Minister of Agriculture is supposed to be here. At the level where you're dealing with this matter, at the parliamentary level. So I'm just saying that for now. For me and for this committee is to make sure that there's proper policies in place. There's accountability in place, you know. And policies are talking about control of this private, you know, activities that we need in our production. I see that you've raised your hand, Dr. Before I give my colleagues to come in. We now want to close the team. You can come in and then let's maybe allow everybody to decide to speak again. And what company have allowed to speak? Transport, we have been speaking on the issues that you have raised. I think all of us will have heard from the minister what he has said, right? So you may want maybe to comment around the issues, but the line that you are taking is the line that the minister has said. Okay. You can come in.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to clarify one point. You raised the
the Gupta package, if I can call it that. It's important to stress that that incident happened before Farblade started to offer international movement. If such an incident were to happen today, it would have had a very different outcome, because the people manning the X-rays for loading international flights would have been not Farblade personnel, but from state entity, from Home Affairs, and that suitcase would have been seized on site and investigated. And so it's important to realize that the security situation was different then to compare to when it is now for international flights. The other point I make is, in listening to the various presentations here, it seems to me that Farblade has, I don't know whether unintentionally is the right word, concentrated one's people's minds on the services provided and the security provided at international airports generally, and I think at ORT itself as well, and I think that's appropriate and right.
I hear the member of parliament or the subcommittee actually commenting about the presentation that we have put forward in terms of the services provided.
Not a subcommittee, not a portfolio,
portfolio committee. My apologies. I just wanted to clarify that the services offered by the department, all the departments in Lanseria, are actually full suite of services. It may be that in my presentation I mentioned that Home Affairs is only for processing passengers or people, but they actually are providing the service in accordance with the mandate that they currently have. Thank you.
The chairman,
Honorable Chauke, in your introduction, you raised an issue around the role of AXA as a national key point, and you wanted to know whether it is regulated. We wanted the AXA just to clarify that this FBO, that is the fixed-based operation, is governed by an approved policy called AXA Minimum Standard for Operating an FBO. It was approved on the 20th March 2014. Of course, there is a lease agreement mainly between us, that is AXA, and DNL, and DNL and the sub-lease between DNL and the fixed and the Fireblade. I just wanted to clarify that. And then in relation to security, Chair, I would like the COO just to give comfort to the portfolio committee in terms of how we manage this area. Over to you, COO.
Good morning. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Just before I go into the actual security overview, I would just like to first, my name is Foyle Yusuteva, the Chief Operating Officer of Airports Company South Africa. So, Fireblade is one of the many FBOs, what we call fixed-based operators that we've got running through the airport. It is the first of the international level that we've implemented within the airport, but we've got a number of other fixed-based operators. So from a security perspective, or Tambo International Airport, as well as some of the other airports within our network, are guided by the National Key Points Act of, I think it's the National Points Act 102. From there, we derive what we call the National Security Aviation Program, the NASP, in which every single one of our security protocols is derived from a legislative point of view. So I want to give members the comfort that we do not shy away from our responsibility, and we take our responsibility very seriously within all our airports, whether it be from an FBO or from other operations that we run within the airport. So we are guided by the SNAP as well as from the civil aviation perspective, civil aviation authority legislative requirements, which is what guides our own license to operate as well. So I can give comfort that we do have in the policy that the acting CEO mentioned, we are very clear that from a security oversight perspective, we hold that responsibility to the extent that we also have ad hoc inspection and audited inspection of the various FBO operations within all bodies.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to just highlight one issue that was raised by Mr. Tambos. The issue of the gaps, you know, in operations is something that has been spoken about over the years. That's why 2013 Cabinet designated Home Affairs to be the lead department on the Border Management Authority. Because ours was to ensure that we have a BMA in order for us to have one command and control. Currently, the Border Ministry, the issue of multiple departments being a particular road is an issue as well. And that is why we are pushing for the finalization of the legislation in order for us to establish. I mean, we had hoped that by this financial year, the BMA should have been up and running in relation to that. But there's been delays, and the Minister, I think, has spoken about that. But that is why, therefore, you then have to rely on the coordinating structure. It's even better at the airports than you would have at the land ports. That particular coordination, because if you have multiple commanders in the port, and then you have a risk of some of the gaps that we've run into too. But I think airports have actually done very well in relation to managing the issue of security. But for them, what are the problems? So I think we can get the BMA to eventually establish, will then be able to deal with some of the gaps that have been raised. There are other questions, Chair, that obvious members have asked, which I think maybe after they have asked their question, I can still go back and answer some of the questions in relation to what they sort of took out.
The first question I asked, which the DG said you were referring to, I don't know who, AXA or whoever, what's the term of contract agreement that you're going to enter into with Fiverr? And the second is that there was the Constitutional Court review application that was pending. Are you going to abandon that now that you're going to start this agreement? What's the status of that?
The term of the agreement has not been determined to say how long Fiverr principle will operate. But what I do know, and Fiverr can correct me here, is that the lease that they've signed with Senel is a 99-year lease, right?
No.
It's a 10-year lease. Oh, that is why I was not sure. I wanted to be corrected. I thought it was a 99-year lease. So I wanted to be corrected.
I wish.
No, that's right.
Chairman, we have a 10-year lease, which is renewable for a further 10 years.
Okay. So I did not want to commit myself, Chairman. I wasn't sure, but I remember the issue of the name, but it was somewhere.
Is it not a 3-year lease? It's a 10-year lease. 10 years. What is mine? 10 years. So we have it for 10. Okay, that's fine.
Yes.
When did it start?
January 2014. So
the 10 years will open for January 2024.
There is an option to renew for
a further 10 years. It's renewable. So there's no other competition that we have. Competition is to be applauded. Okay, that's fine. We'll come to that.
Okay. So, Chair, on the issue on the court challenge, it's a matter that we have not yet appraised the minister, so we still have to appraise the minister on it and make a decision in terms of whether we're going to deal with that issue now. So that there's no decision that has been taken then in that regard. And then the issue that... I would rather have to bring the minister on it before I think they can make a decision. And then...
The reason that I think the committee will have an interest around this issue, you remember that this committee of parliament, Minister Gwet, the committee of parliament in fact supported the previous minister to go to court, to go to the constitutional court. So remember, we took a resolution as a committee of parliament. So they have an interest. Who wants to know what is the position now? Because when the minister came to the committee, former minister came to the committee, around the issue of the appeals court. We then said, no, it's fine if you believe that you're right, with all the steps that we're taking, we'll support you to go to a conclusion. And the outcome then came, right? And then that was then put aside. So let's work out. We'll have an interest in this. Talk to us. One day we'll see the brief. Let me not hijack you now. They'll give you a brief and then we'll come back and talk to the committee. I see that there's a big and a peer vision. Thank you and welcome, Mr. Bishop.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. Can we then respond to the remaining questions quickly so that we wrap up?
Yes. Chair, Honorable Dabuza asked a question in relation to the staff that was not present, which was in the operations at Fair Fireplace. It's still the same situation where that we get 24-hour notice if there's going to be an activity relating to an international flight, so the staff can be deployed in that regard. But once an agreement is concluded with the ACSA, then the obvious model would be different, where either we station people on a permanent basis in that regard. So that model would have to be determined once that agreement is finalized. And then on the fees that it was paid for, I must say at the outset that in February last year, as we were busy finalizing the issue, we then developed our model, cost model with Fireblade, because we said to them we do not have adequate IT infrastructure and also the issue relating to staffing. So we then calculated the cost that we would incur by operating at Fireblade. And then they agreed to that model and then we implemented it. Obvious once the agreement is reached, that particular model will then fall away because it's just a contingent measure in order for us to be able to operate. Other departments obviously did not enter into a similar agreement because only the health had to put the healthcare scanner there. So they were able to put the scanner without obvious. I'm not sure whether there were costs on their side, so very far they can speak to them. But from our side, where there was cost in terms of CAPEX, we had to obviously charge them for the CAPEX that we incurred during that time. I think Honorable Mukalibu, we have been asked that the time frame is definitely 10 years that we have signed, but I yes. So, but I do not know whether when ACSA concludes the agreement, whether it will also stick to the same, so it will be aligned to what they have signed with TENET. So that will be finalized between them. And then we also raised the issue of the safety management that we're not satisfied at the time. I think it goes into the similar question that Honorable Dambos has raised, that once the agreement is concluded, then there will be determination whether you're permanent staff. I mean, the expectation is that at least there will be movement on a daily basis. So therefore, you need staff to be stationed in that regard. And then, the Honorable Rapucci, you said you wanted to know when are you getting the agreement. That's why I was saying that once this model that we are now proposing is agreed to, and then the agreement can be concluded, and then it will be brought to this committee.
Okay.
And then Honorable Fickler invited the minutes. We can provide the minutes of the meetings that we have had and the people who have attended. And then same applies to the Honorable Kenya, the issue of the copy of the copy of the agreement that is to be signed. But I think Minister has raised a very important issues which again relates to the PMA, which relates to what is the role of Home Affairs, because as again I want to emphasize the point. We have come to the committee and in various platforms, we have insisted that the Department of Home Affairs, in relation to EMA, will be the lead department. That is why we'll talk about the issue of command and control, because Home Affairs will then be a department that oversees the operations of the EMA, ensuring end-to-end immigration services, not just to do admission and departures of passengers, but look at the entire environment in relation to border management.
Thank you. Can I find out, Lanceria, the border management the committee, does it exist there?
The border management agency, of course, it exists in terms of what is currently being provided for. It used to be renovated with DCOCC and it's taken over by BMA. But at the moment, we know that there is a representative that stationed in the airport that actually coordinates all the skills activities of the government departments under the border management agency.
Border management
it's not operational as we understand.
Just think what you know. Tell us what you know first, and then we'll tell you what the law is and what should be done.
It used to be the DCOCC,
yeah,
which is now no longer in place, and the intention is to replace it with the Border Management Agency. At the moment, we have a representative stationed at the airport that provides the activities under the auspices of the BMA that still needs to be finalized. But there is a warm body that coordinates the activities of the different or various departments.
And that by who? I won't satisfy that's fine.
So 2013, we then set up the Border Management Authority Project Management Office, called the Border Management Authority, PMO. Border Management Project Management Office was responsible for developing the legislation and also the integrated border management strategy. During that period, the BCOCC was then transferred to the Border Management Project Office to look after the coordination issues in the port of Ends. And then later, the Border Management BCOCC was renamed to be called the Port Management Committee. So at every port, the Port Management Committee has the representative that the CEO is referring to under the auspices of the Project Management Office, which took over the responsibility in anticipation of the finalization of the legislation. You know, these were now the preparation steps in order to get the PMA up and running. So that's what the decision that was taken when it was moved to all the stakeholders, therefore, operate under that particular umbrella of the PMC overseen by the Project Management Office.
So the legislative framework, therefore, that determined this PMA, which is not yet in place, what the regulations are they operating on?
So there was an integrated border management strategy that was approved, which the strategy that they are utilizing to coordinate the border management functions in the port of Ends. It is an interim measure as part of transition to the fully fledged border management authority.
Yeah, the minister, I have noted the issues. I pick up a lot of I think all of us will definitely have the EMA would kick in immediately without delay. But they've opened up a gap, in fact. There's no regulations and legislative guide around those things. We find ourselves wanting, for now, what would be important would be for us just to be in charge of the process, making sure that that coordination happens. We're in the basement until such time that the point that is raised by the minister is accepted and resolved. For now, we're in. Who's leading that watch call? Who's that person? Who's the coordinator?
No, the project manager is Mr. Elroy Africa.
Who's Mr. Elroy
Africa? He's
the
former
department.
He reports to the Minister of Home Affairs. He's a project manager. He used to be a director general at COPTA. He was appointed in 2013 by the Department of Home Affairs.
And on which floor?
Chair President, in 2013, as I've indicated, Cabinet moved the responsibility of establishing the Border Management Authority from SSA to the Department of Home Affairs.
Okay,
and then the Department of Home Affairs had to set up a project office and then to look for a project manager.
The gaps. And the minister is talking about those gaps. We need to make sure that there's a legislative framework in place and there's proper. That's what we must accept. There's nothing wrong, it's not for you to be blamed. The deal where it is now, a minister would have to deal with those matters. From the national assembly point of view, of managed. What is holding the NCOP, we may not know. So the minister and his engagement, to yourself, by the way, as a department has to interact with the NCOP. Well, it's our fight now. I'm going to put the orders to wrap up now. And then agree that those who not come today, Kruger, there's a need for them to come in and come of the operation. So that's a basic thing, simple. Just come and explain yourself how you operate. You know, we don't want to start a movement and operation of private people. Generally, but want to make sure that they adhere to the law. If they adhere to the law, all of the things is to make sure that we show sanctions. So that you know, there's no back on the view. And especially when it comes to use of taxpayers' money.
Yeah, thank you very much. And even what the minister has said, but minister, I'm very worried because we have worked so much in order that we bring the order management authority, you know, this committee, we have worked so much. And you can see that there are some people outside there who are so opportunistic, who are going around saying that South Africa is so corrupt, government is doing absolutely nothing to ensure the security of South Africa. So, and it is the people who are in this committee who goes out there and talking foul about what we have done. I will really request...
to meet and also to make sure that
we have one, because you know, Chairperson, all of us as members of parliament, for instance, in our Tambo, as members of parliament, when we go outside, overseas, the harassment we got in those airports, minister, but we comply because we know it's for the security. But the harassment, you must know, even here in our Tambo, even if you say, I do have a passport, it's a diplomat, a day, this side. We don't care. This side.
That's home affairs.
No, saying it is home affairs, but it's for security reasons. We don't complain, DG.
Okay.
We don't come back to you to say we are members of parliament, we must be treated, because we understand that the security of this country is very imminent.
Okay.
But I'm saying that we can't compromise the security when it comes to fireplace. Because as Chairperson, I'm not sure if you were here before, but when you stressed the point that this presentation that the DG have done in front of this committee, in fact, you wanted an update, Tina, as a committee, because we raised many issues when you realized that, Nikki, fortunately, there's no customer today, you must relax. We raised so many issues there, Chairperson, when we have discovered that there is so much gap that needs to be filled by the Home Affairs. And we thought from there we still have to be updated by our department. But the presentation, we do understand maybe it's for time, as we were also alluding to the fact that you are going to, I mean, there's no time. But we still have to go back on those issues. Minister, there's no justification that you're a new minister. Then, Chair, wait. The DG is covering up to say he still has to praise the minister. The minister is up and running. Day one, when students say you are a minister of home affairs, supposed to go to this department and get what is happening. We need to know about that court case. I'm not going to be hard on the minister, but I'm saying we need to be updated on these matters, because it's us who are supposed to know about these matters. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mukherjee. So then, you still want to make another bite? I see you're looking at Minister Kerr.
I will take one minute of I want to support you in a comment you made earlier. When you raised the importance of security around the one Gupta parcel, for example, you were making a reference to it. And you said the minister must provide leadership and bring other ministers together to try and provide the security. I want you to know we stand behind you on that. But in the process of that, the minister must also take consideration of the thousands of other parcels that are coming through our ports of entry and the borders. We make a big issue here of 2 or 3 hours we talk about the one Gupta parcel. Every day there are thousands of other Gupta parcels coming through this country. So if you want to fix the problem around security, the issue is not just around Firebridge, the issue is around the borders in South Africa, and I'm asking Minister that you take that matter very seriously.
Well, as went to the, that's why we insisted that let's have the commission that deals with issues of Minister, you may want to signify this day.
By saying that I'm a new minister, I was not saying that I'm absolving my class. I do it. I was just saying, because of the shortness of time, I might not have been aware of everything which is happening in the department. When you inherit a department, you inherit assets and liabilities. So I thought I should just raise those points and say I've been taking notes. I'm not sure what the committee says, but I'm quite confident in closing sharing that with the ANC government.
This minister, last week we call an odd. He is a minister of everyone, not about ANC. Otherwise he will follow us as Manu Kika.
pass that man. Please, for the just give me a
record.
But there's nothing wrong.
We saw just junior officials, exchanges from South and help
general. Just give me an official. Let me see if the next level for more good. Let the director general of this department take charge of this process. And in the next engagement, that will do, minister. It will be an engagement at the highest level again. Of director general or either minister will come to speak to parliament around this issue. To dealing with the issue of national people cannot just be treated like any other business. Right? The National Key Point Act is in place, and we have to adhere to such what's called a legislative framework that are in place. So on that note, we thank you very much again. We'll call you again, Minister, even if we know that our term is coming to end. It may not be this one. In the next Parliament, we'll make sure that we leave a report for the next Committee of Parliament that will come and take over. They will then find some kind of recommendation that we've made. So that the matter does not die, then carry forward. And I think the committee section, on behalf of Parliament, and the level of committee section, will then recommend the same problem. As we do the handover to the next committee of Parliament, we can then hand over something with a clear recommendation of what must happen moving forward. I want to thank you very much, for the guests that you've invited. And then, Well, 5 days can afford to come by and you. Or Lanzaria this time around. Okay, no, thank you very much, colleagues and members. We're going to have the last slide of the agenda. Okay, can be very compassionate and allow our guests to leave the meeting. And the minister, thank you very much.
I'm not going to do that. said, I have inherited assets and liabilities. Which one is this? I would say that it was probably a liability, Minister. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Who exactly did give Fireway Aviation permission to operate from Jakarta? Have you managed to find that out?
No, the department is still engaging all the stakeholders. It does appear from the information provided that the company was just given a permission of Janelle, and that Janelle then passed leave to the department. And so far, there's nothing wrong with it. But I'm trying to find the bigger ways, the correct ways to ensure that our policies are being followed. As you may know, we are only responsible with the import designation. Other departments like revenue services are looking at the goods and services. Others become like here that we are respecting the court decision in this matter. And the department that is there will be involving key stakeholders such as Department of Transport, the AXA, which is the operating company there, to find a way of making sure that we continue with that place. We are, however, trying to strengthen our own regulation as Department of Home Affairs in terms of Section 9 of the Immigration Act. We'll come back to the committee on that. Secondly, as committee members have been saying, I reported to the committee that we are trying to expedite the Border Management Act, which was trying to strengthen the coordination and the cost of air in terms of all state entities, making sure that we strengthen the security in relation to movement of food and services at that cost of air.
We heard from Firebird again saying that they were subletting from Janel. We heard from the head of Nanterre Airport that they are letting from public requirements, public works. So it seems that there's no proper regulatory framework in place, which is what is concerning MPs, especially when it comes to allegations of poor border, lack of border control, and
security. Yes, as you might remember, you may remember that the cabinet in 2014 passed the border management frame. And then we have to put legislative amendments which were passed by the National Assembly about 19 months ago. There's been somehow delayed with the NCOP because of certain challenges which were raised by that. I've written to the Minister of Finance that we can meet and resolve that before the Parliament tries. Because the issue of coordination and ensuring national security and coordination of our activities is quite key. So, and the committee in the NCOP is waiting for me to actually, and the Minister of Finance, to say they can proceed. Therefore, no issues in the deal as it stands today. So, that's why we'll strengthen the issues of national security. Passing of that border management agent in Parliament, because that's a structure which has got coordination functions, which are very clear, and to make sure that the law enforcement at our port of entry, and in our border line, which is defense, that's a dedicated to defense, but the coordination part of it is through the border management agent.
Are you quite happy at this stage that enough is being done to make sure that border control is compliant and that unwanted people, such as terrorists, for instance, are not coming into South Africa under false passports, and that our borders are in fact safe?
I can say I'm satisfied, but there's still no more way to be done. If you look at our force of entry, where we have the mental responsibilities, there's better coordination. But there is our effort, we need to improve coordination and processes at our land port of entry. The key challenge which we have at the moment is the issue of fake documents, people coming with fake documents, but we do discover now that we're doing live capture. So we need to strengthen our live capture and system so that people can be detected quite easily before. The advanced passenger information platform also helps us to detect who's trying to come in. But the biggest challenge we have at the moment is the borderline. That's where the Department of Defense is specific mandate has shifted from the police to defense to guard the borderline, because in certain areas it's difficult for police. We're working with those communities to assist creating concentric circles of ensuring security, working with communities, but we also need in certain areas to put measures like deployment of personnel, deployment of technologies. I think technologies are going to be quite critical at this stage, because we can never have any soldier every 20 meters of the borderline too long. But if we deploy technology, we think that we'll be able to improve that.
Very quick question for me. Do you think it's fair to say that you've been on the job for 3 or 4 months and you haven't really had the chance or had the time or been given the opportunity to deal with this matter adequately, and will probably only be dealt with when the sixth parliament opens?
No, I'm getting briefings from the department on a regular basis. They did brief me at the high level, even on this matter. What we said, we need them to go to policy, because if you don't have a policy framework to carry back, and if you don't have your legislative mandate and regulation clarified, then you may find some gaps. So, yes, I'm only about 2.5 months.
And January, February, okay.
Okay.
Yes.
But here, yeah. So, but as a minister, when you get deployed to an area, like I said, you carry flat up in the society. And that's why I continue to engage with the department. What is clear is engagement at the security sector level. That's why we're going to prioritize that as organized by the committee today, because that's where the government is coordinated at the security sector level. That's what is needed to take the process forward. But on the border management agency, what is left is a 90-day with the minister of waiting. He did agree, and he put it there, that we should meet. But as you know, he's delivering a most important speech tomorrow. I hope after that speech, he'll have time for me. Preferably for this week, I'll be very happy to get time for me to analyze the important matters.
Well, thank you for making time for us. It's
the
short break that we have, Michelle, at the Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs, and just receiving feedback on the fire-blade aviation issue that caused such a furore last year. And it really has been more of a focus report on more progress to come, and they will be, I'm sure, another report to find out what just has been done to make sure that there is a regulatory framework in place so that more private business people can open six-day operations at our airports across the country.
Just very briefly, without going into detail, what has worked well with us is coordination with local stakeholders, as well as the speakers of provincial administration stations and speakers of municipalities, the traditional leaders. And I was hoping that also we'll draw, when we're speaking with the speakers, we normally always stress the importance of drawing on all other stakeholders of the constituency offices, because we believe constituency offices can assist us a lot in making sure that they identify the people and assist them to get these ideas. That's all what I can come back later, Mr. Shepherd, and if I can ask the state DG to just give us a slide presentation.
Thank you very much, Chair and honorable members. We have prepared a presentation. I think Minister alluded to the purpose of the presentation. It's just as a way of background that Home Affairs is responsible for the population registration, determination of citizenship, issuance of enabling documents, these are obviously classified as IDs, passport, birth certificate, marriages and death, and other related services. And that in terms of our ID provisions in the Identity Act of 97, we are responsible for processing IDs to all South African citizens. These documents are issued on application and also enable holders, therefore, to identify themselves for general purposes or for day-to-day transactions, including voting in order to promote democracy. So the purpose of the Civic Service Branch that is responsible for this is ensuring that the efficient and accessible service and documents for citizens and lawful residents through the execution of the core mandate, which is the management of the National Population Register, management of our ID documents, HANIS system, which is the biometric system, management of passports and travel documents, determination of the status of citizens, birth, marriages, and the death records. Chair, I just want to highlight with this slide that when we prepared this presentation, it was actually for last week. On the 6th of February this year, we were sitting with about 374,000 smart cards in our offices. In the main, these were the reissues. These are people who are replacing their green ID books. In most instances, you find that it's not that the ID is stolen, but it's because it was part of the project for us to move away from the green ID book. So there were 289,940 that were in our offices at the time. The numbers would have changed by this morning. And then those who are new, which we're worried about, well, these are the new young people who are supposed to register to vote. There are about 84,141, and the biggest number being Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. The next slide just shows the areas of concentration of uncollected IDs, you know, in relation to the red ones. It's really showing those that are over 7,000 and above. If you look at Port Elizabeth, for an example, a high number, Pretoria and Johannesburg and the Western Cape, there's a high number of IDs that are not collected. Also, if you look at Durban in particular, Pietermaritzburg, in those areas, these are some of the areas where we have a lot of concentration of uncollected IDs. Now, the approach, therefore, to the distribution of IDs is that we have identified areas with the highest number of uncollected clean ID books and smart cards. Provinces work with the stakeholder forum, as the Minister has highlighted. We have a stakeholder forum that we've created over the years in the Department of Home Affairs, where we work with local authorities, in particular at the municipal level, where we encourage people to collect their clean ID books. And part of the issue with the clean ID book is that obviously we can work with councillors in certain wards where we would be able to narrow down and identify specifically people in certain offices that have not collected the ID and are able to interact directly with those people. We are also enlisting the services of CDWs, the community development workers, and we compile a list with a scheduled visit where people must collect their IDs. There has been a door-to-door distribution of lists of uncollected campaigns, which is currently happening. And also through other outreach programs and joint programs with other departments, we are continuing to be able to raise awareness for people to come to our offices to collect their IDs.
We're also working closely with GCIS to communicate the message in relation to the need for people to collect IDs, because it doesn't assist us to produce IDs that are not collected. And so far this financial year, we have issued over 2.8 million smart cards, and our target for the financial year was 3 million, so we are on route to achieve our target. We have also been using various social media platforms of the department to promote the collection of IDs, and there's been a lot of posters that we distribute through electronic media. We also use, as I said, community radio stations for people to collect. This is where we are set by desires. In rural communities, there's a loud hailing program where, during the outreach program, when we invite people to come, whether it's visitors and so forth, and then to say that they must also remember to collect. We've arranged visits to distribute IDs in prisons, as well as call clients to collect. We've been resending the SMS messages to those that have not collected, and just to remind them to come and collect. This just also shows an important performance during voter registration. This is in relation to clean ID books, to say on the 26th, for an example, the ID books that were in hand were 28,000 in all the offices, and then on the first day there were 3,129 that were issued, and then when we opened again on the Sunday, there were 24,980. And then that Sunday we issued about 1,083. And so in terms of the closing on the first day was 24,000, and the closing on the second day was 23,897. And in that vein, I think Chair and members will appreciate that there are certain offices that still do not offer smart card, mainly because of various reasons. That's why the Chair also requested that the Public Works Department comes into this committee, that there are offices that were unable to convert to smart card because of the fiscal infrastructure. So therefore, we do not deprive those communities their ability to secure identity. That is why we still continue with the issuance of the green ID books, even though in a few years' time, the green ID books will be phased out. But we realize that, you know, discontinuing their tools, they will just deprive a lot of citizens, because currently we're sitting with only 184 offices that can offer smart card. Just maybe to share some of the statistics, is that in the Free State, so in the Eastern Cape, for an example, you have a population of about 6.5 million people. We have 59 offices and 5 hospitals that are able to do better registration. The staff that is servicing the entire population of the Eastern Cape in the front line, this excludes office managers and support staff in an office, but there's the officials that are interfacing, sitting at about 415. In the Eastern Cape. In the Free State, of the population of 2.9 million, you're sitting with a staff of 139 that are servicing the entire Free State. In a province like KwaZulu-Natal, you're sitting with 419 officials who are servicing 11 million people. So all in all, the entire country, the staff that is facing the community in relation to service is sitting at 3,123. So again, I'm saying in the offices that include your support staff, your managers, but these are the frontline officers that are serving the entire population. So I think it's quite critical that each of relating to resourcing and expansion of our footprint becomes quite pertinent, that we raise at the highest level. Because if, for example, we were to get adequate offices or get more space for our Sudan offices, as we get the requests on a regular basis, we are unable to expand the footprint because of that also is a limitation. Because once you do a smart card office, you need at least at a minimum 6 people to be able to run that system because of segregation of duties to ensure that the whole system on its own it can manage itself. Because if you allow people to perform multiple functions within the value chain, then obviously people can actually do things that are uncalled for. If there's no checks and balances in relation to that. Now, in terms of the impact and the intervention made during the voter registration, Minister visited a number of frontline service delivery offices in the province, in 5 provinces, which was Gauteng, KZN, Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, and the Free State. There's been also an engagement that the Minister has had with the speakers and councillors. The Minister has alluded to in terms of strengthening the partnerships. One of the outcomes, obviously, has been the increase in geo-to-door activities.
We just indicated at my previous presentation that there were 4,512 Agreen ID books that were collected during that weekend. We issued 1,589 temporary identification certificates on the 2027 and then 25,799 smart cards that were collected during that particular period. Must indicate that one of the plans that we are having, Chair and members, is that when the election will take place on the 8th of May, our intention is to actually open our offices again for longer periods on the Monday and the Tuesday and on the day of the election. Again, to say that on the eve of the election, you have to be able to access that. So, but you will still have to present that to us. Then, in terms of the footprint I've alluded to, if you look at a province in terms of the what we call locus or local office, large offices, we have in a rural environment, in only case there's one, there's 43 of those in urban environment. The medium offices is 70 and 77, and that's what obviously gives us the 412 offices. And if you look at those local office malls, these are now Tucson centers. We in the main, in rural areas, there's about 71 of those, and then 29 in urban areas. Some of these offices, if you were to zoom in to specifically look at the capacity of them to be able to deliver the services, they are really, you know, small and really not able to. These are the offices that you are unable to modernize. So this is where our challenge is mainly located. We do have certain small offices in different areas that we have modified and made them smart cards ready. But again, there's a problem also here in the small offices. And then obviously most of those that are medium and large, they've been modernized. If you look at the graphic display here, it just shows this now the rural versus urban split, with the blue being rural, that in the Eastern Cape, a majority of the sort of offices are in rural areas, it's about 43, and then 16 in urban areas. Free State, Gauteng, obviously, you have 57 and 4, and then the other distribution of provinces, and doing cases and before and so forth. This is just the footprint in terms of the live capture offices, that in the Eastern Cape, there's only 27 offices that can give you smart cards. In the Free State, there's 13, Gauteng, 29, KZN, 27, and so forth. So the number then culminates in 284. Throughout the country, and then the distribution again, I'm saying, in Gauteng, all 29 offices can do smart card because of infrastructure issues, and KZN there's about 17 that can be able to do smart card, and then 10 in rural areas. And then this is just the pilots that we're having with the banks. Chair will call and members that we entered into a pilot project with the banks and see whether we can actually increase the footprint. The project has not been finalized. It's still a pilot because once we finalize the business case, then Trader suggested that we go through a triple P project. So we have to appoint a transition advisor. There's currently way that is currently being done in order for us to be able to complete the triple P process, which obviously is not a process that is very easy to conclude. But we do hope that by the end of this calendar year, would have made, I think, inroads in terms of finalizing the triple P process. We do intend to expand, as we have committed in the last budget, both of us indicated that we will add extra training sites. Work is continuing in relation to that. CTA has finalized the data lines that goes to those banks so that we can be able to connect them. Chair, we now have what we call a new generation mobile units. The old generation of mobile were decommissioned in order to cater for the new life capture system. In schools in particular, when you send the old generation mobile that produces the IT books, students were reluctant to enroll. So we are in the process of finalizing the connectivity issues in this new generation mobile unit. And we have sent about 9 mobiles to be delivered to all the provinces, and then we're just working with our technicians to deal with the issues of connectivity in relation to this mobile unit. With that, Chair, I want to turn into now the 2019 election communications plan. What we have been doing is that with the number of activities that we have done is with our communication team, identifying regions with a high number of collective providers, as I've said, collecting roadshows, ministerial visits, in partnership with a number of groups. So these are just the activities
which obviously I've spoken about on the other side of the presentation, but I thought I should just highlight. Some of the challenges that we have is that mobile units cannot currently be optimally utilized because of the connectivity that we are busy dealing with. Also, we still have some in certain areas instability of the system where it's sometimes slow, and then offline incidences for which we are actively managing. I think really this is issues of infrastructure, but I think we've also been getting some form of response from CETA where they've indicated that we will actually increase our speed. The minister said in order for us to increase what we call latency, we need to increase our bandwidth. So we're now going to be utilizing at least 10 megs per second. Because CETA said they now have a better prices from telcos, so which will reduce the cost on our side, but increase our speed in terms of the system. And then the offices also offline due to cable theft. We have experienced that in many offices. I think you were in South Dakar during the voter registration, where the whole area, including post office and other services, were affected because of cable theft. In Giani, we had an office that was out for about 3 weeks, in Priska, and many other areas where we've had challenges in relation to cable theft because people are stealing the copper. So the only route, obviously, that the CETA and the telcos need to consider, obviously, to using fiber in those areas where it's found, because if you steal fiber, actually, it just becomes a useless piece of equipment if somebody stole it, but copper is still really targeted by criminals. And obviously, it becomes expensive for telecom. They're really not keen to put a base in fiber. That's why, the copper cables, that's why we are moving to the fiber. But fiber is still not in all the areas in our country. There are still areas that are not yet covered by fiber. That's why we need to look at other alternative ways of connecting. But that work is continuing with CETA. And then the lack of compelling measures to put people to collect their IDs once they've been notified. Sometimes really people, they get messages, they don't respond to those messages until it's late, and the number, they don't call the ID, they pile up in our office. And also then the issue of the inadequate equipment that already under true legislation to the fiscal infrastructure that they're talking about. With that, Chairperson, we want to request that the committee assist the department in encouraging citizens to collect their IDs when they've been notified in various platforms where the committee members engage. And also to assist the department really in relation to additional budget, not to be utilized for staffing and footprint expansion. Because as I've said, the current financial year, we started the year with a 35 million deficit in our budget because our budget was 3.3 billion. So what then happened is that we had the warm bodies that we had were exceeding the ceiling that was set. So what we needed them to do in order not to overspend was to allow those who exit and not to replace them in order to be under the ceiling. But with that is that also we had projected that we were going to have 6% salary increases after the conclusion of the negotiations with the department and the union. And they actually, the for different levels, the other was 7%, another was 6.5. So those numbers then exceeded our budget with about 30 million rand. So what then means our projections were then, out. So by the end of the year, which is last year in December, we were projecting that we were going to have a deficit in our compensation of employee budget of 154 million, which we notified Tertiary and requested to shift some funding into our resources, but that has not been fully approved, it was partially approved. So we now obviously having a situation where between April last year and January this year, have lost over 505 positions in the department. Again, that's in the external operation in the frontline. Also, we wish to advise the department of on compelling measures that may be used to force people to collect their IDs once they've been notified. One of the things that we have said to citizens is that if you don't collect an ID, up to 12 months, and then you have to destroy it because it creates a risk for it to sit there in the office, then you'd have people there starting to pick up that this person is not coming to actually collect the IDs. That's where the issue of theft of IDs and syndicates are really intrusive. But if the IDs, they arrive, they catch their people and then get stored in the office, it becomes much easier. But once they're stored, then you start beginning the fighting the issue of identity theft and so forth.
With that, Chair, I'd like to thank the committee for the opportunity to present it our best.
Thank you very much, CJ, for the presentation. And let me again thank the minister when he was appointed minister of home affairs. Immediately was running the campaign of collection of ideas for the time. I want to thank you for that. But then allow colleagues with their experiences of yours on the ground, interact communities. And I know that during the voter registration, a lot of colleagues were involved in assisting communities and challenges. And I think most of the challenges are about the moral adjustment commission of shortage of staff, budget, the issue of the cable staff. Generally, it's one of the biggest problems that we have. But let's get colleagues to comment on the presentation and then look at what is it that can be done, not only around distribution. I mean, collection towards distribution. Sometimes the mobile unit will go to a school and take applications and implement when collection finds it. They don't go back to the school that they collected. So let me start at the back there. From Kenya with you, Finland, from Shebu, Mera Puti,
thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the innovation at DG. My first concern is only the issue of people connected to my ID card. These numbers, as much as, because we know that we are going for elections, we are very concerned when you see a large number of IDs and also people connected, both IDs, my card, and people green passport. Now, there's a lot of that. I don't understand. What can you do? Therefore, well, to my understanding, we're talking about the ministerial engagement of strengthening youth partnerships, such as ICAS and CASNA. Now, can you also engage MPs and MPLs? Because we've got a coordinate office which takes a larger part, even more than CASNA. So many words in one coordinate office for the MP or the MPL. That is a recommendation also to Minister, so that he can also utilize us as business of us, because we are also commissioners. Secondly, just to know how many people is there staff, in spite of all what is happening, because yes, we are concerned as political parties about the election. How many people has there staff up to now? Because you know that to register that I have an ID, you must have an ID smart card. So how many people, because I don't see the numbers, so far, up to now.
That question, Mountain. Maybe that question is the question that is meant for the IT.
No.
The last one.
Yes, you're right. Yes, you're right. Yes, you're right. Okay. Welcome community. You're talking about the hating on the communities. But to my experience, I have so many areas in my constituent office. I never saw any hating by the department. Only because political parties do hate at times to call the people. So I don't know whether that is there. But the department, I never saw it anywhere. So I'm concerned about that. Maybe it's just a lip service or a book service. Then you're talking about the opening of offices for longer periods on 2 days prior to the election day. If you can just tell us about the time of closure so that we can communicate to the community the time. If we're going to close at 5 o'clock or whatever, so that we can be able to assist on this issue. Lastly, I'm also concerned about the two provinces or only on banks with live culture. Not taking the same thing. What about the rest of the seven? So this is very slow. That's why I say I'm having a concern about that. Or the pace is very slow. But precautionary measures can do so that to be sure that at least all these problems must have, because there are so many things in each city. So this is, this doesn't sound well to me. If you can just speed this process up. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Acting DG, I don't know when I will pay this off saying acting DG. Maybe the minister will start appointing you to be a DG. Chairperson, don't you get tired of talking? Anyway, DG, the question that I want to ask, you said on slide 8, provinces to work with stakeholders for to encourage people to collect their drink barcoded IDs. Now, I would like to know which fora, stakeholders fora is that. I do support that we must talk to the communities to collect their IDs, because we're going for election also, beside the elections. But I think also with the pamphlets that you gave to be distributed for the people to collect their IDs and the SMSs, I think you must go back and do a study on the SMSs. Because most of the people, they get SMSs, when they get to the offices, the ID is not there. Or they get the wrong information. Some of them, they even phone these call centers that you gave to the people who apply for the IDs. They don't get an answer. Now, there must be another smart way that we can work with them. If you talk about distribution of pamphlets and social media posters, I never see any poster around. I've been to offices of Home Affairs. Yes, inside Home Affairs you can see them. But there are poles that are empty, especially now, are not going to be empty. We're going to put our posters on. You've already started.
What are you talking about now?
I'm talking about IDs collecting. No, I'm talking about Home Affairs to put posters for the people to. No, we're going to put our posters now.
Home Affairs does not have.
I'm talking about elections. Fine. That's a political statement. Allow me. The CDWs, I know CDWs are working with the council and the provinces. Now, that is another platform that we can use. But I would also suggest that you say Western Cape has got 45,000 backlog. That is uncollected IDs. Now, is there any way that you can give us, okay, I'm going to talk about constituencies now. When you talk about plan, you talk about Drakenstein. If you give me the backlog of Drakenstein, then I can be able to assist, although we keep on communicating to people every time we go to our constituencies, that please go and collect your ID. But check the attitude of the officials. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to also thank the department for giving us this presentation. I think I want to applaud the minister for meeting with the speaker and councillors, because we can do whatever thing that we want, but we must also understand the people who apply for the IT. The first group is the students in high school. And what is it that we are doing to strengthen the information to go to those students? At some instances, there was a program run by the Home Affairs that was visiting different constituencies for people to come and apply for their IDs in a certain area. For example, in the local government here, there are offices that can be used by the department without really incurring any cost in terms of the agreement that can be reached, to say that we need to use those community halls in those different communities. We need to use those councillors' offices in different areas. We need to use those Zagala Tucson centers that are all over. And really, we do not have to incur cost in doing that, but we have to enter into a partnership in terms of the availability of the personnel and staff from Home Affairs
with their guidance to issue those identity documents. And also in schools, in particular the high schools, because you know that when a child is writing matric, he needs an ID. Definitely that child will apply for the identity document. I think that is the group of people that you're supposed to be targeting. For me, I think going to local is one of the best things that we can do, because even the issues of loud hearing, if a candle of the era loud hearing and say that in Hall for and so there will be IEC Home Affairs coming to issue IDs and also IEC to register in those particular areas, we will be definitely beating the uncollected identification. For the offices, for example, using a bank and so on, we can do that. But do you see a student, some electricity of FUNA, EID a bank? Do you see a person from the informal settlement in Wabesa, Lafago, Hengu, Eofuna, EID, a bank? That person, Arawaz, Unyangwebek, Arawaz, Azayero bank. We must know our audience and our target, that we're targeting. And then we'll be able to, because Abandabai bank, Abandabai bank.
Yeah, thank you very much, DG. However, I just want to really to comment the minister, Dr. Puele, for the steady work that you have done during the festive season, yourself and Dr. Gwen Ramokopa, for leading by example, by ensuring the importance of registration, because it's part of the process of a person or a citizen to obtain an ID. Really, I applaud you. On the 1st of January, you were on duty. Two people are really in the... Chairperson.
No, for the gentleman.
Yeah. If it was me, we're going here, I put it. Yeah, now
here
are the two
people here. Please.
I don't want to touch it. Really, you really touched me. Touched people's lives. DG, I was of the view that you can see how they really, those are my votes. 101,000, how many? Uncollected, so many IDs. If you need that, I must help you, unless. DG, if you can give me the areas, I can go to the churches, we must tell the churches, we must go to the corners, we must go all over and to really come and tell people to come and collect their IDs. I'm there, please use me. And even the schools, have you revisited the school again? The churches, the taxi rank, the bus, the park rank, about these uncollected IDs. I'm there. Minister, please utilize Tumani. Thank you very much.
All right, I'm giving members.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, DG, for the input. I think I'm going to start first with the 3 points which DG mentioned as matters which ourselves as the portfolio committee need to look at. The first one which I'm going to talk about is the budget. I think even at this point in time, Minister, we need to get funds to make sure that those mobile units, the very mobile units which went to people,
to go and make sure that people apply for IDs. Actually do go back to those people now with the IDs, because with some people they don't even have money to get to where we are. So those mobile units need to be actually fitted up with the ID collection side, as well as the police. You must remember, whenever you have those IDs, you'll always have probably some troops that would like to steal them and distribute them wherever. But it's important that those mobile units now need to be used for another area, and that is the area of distribution. The second point, I've been hearing our members, and we've been saying it for some time, Minister and the DG, that we have this map of South Africa with certain areas where IDs have not been collected. The percentage which Umemba Raputo was talking about in Gauteng is also my constituency. I'm also worried about all those people who haven't collected their IDs. But I would like to make a recommendation to Home Affairs and recommend that in each and every province, let us be given the exact area where IDs in large numbers have not been collected, so that we know exactly where to go and zoom in and try and get those IDs. Getting a number, just hearing that in Gauteng we've got so many thousands, it is quite good. But if we were to hear exactly which area those IDs are actually supposed to be collected, then we will be able to work. I think one other issue of especially assisting ourselves, I said I would stick to this point which the DG spoke about, assisting in encouraging clients to collect. Yes, it is our main area as well as political parties, to actually go out and make a commitment that we will go out, we will call on our people in South Africa to actually go and collect their IDs. We'll also work a lot with our PFC. We've got our liaison offices which are actually meet in the IEC. Those also have a function to do, because they get the information from the IEC, they go to all our points, political points, and then the information is distributed. I think it's important for us to realize that once we say time is not on our side, as movement is towards the election, the earlier we get some of this stuff done, the better. We have been talking a lot about it, but if we have the information, we'll be able to do more about it. Thank you.
Chair, I have just two or three quick issues to raise. The first thing, Chair, that I want to speak to is the comment that the DG made earlier with regards to staffing matters in Home Affairs. I must tell you, I honestly think that we're reaching a critical point in Home Affairs. It's really bad. And I want us, Chair, as a committee, to raise this issue via the Minister, that he would raise it with Treasury or whoever the powers that be, that if Home Affairs is not going to get additional staff in the short term, that department is going to start falling apart. It can't be you have 3,000 some odd frontline staff members to service 50 million people in the country. It's absolute madness. So I understand that Treasury is trying to save money as far as public sector wage bill is concerned, but this is one of those critical departments that if you're going to start reducing the staff in Home Affairs, you're going to start seeing the long queues as we normally do. Every single office that I have visited over the last 6 months, Chairperson, I promise you, when you speak to people who are being serviced in those offices, the first thing they'll tell you is the long queues. Every single one of them that I've visited, that they have to spend hours and hours in the queues. Now, I know that if you increase the frontline staff, you'll probably be able to reduce the queues. But beyond what we have at the moment, I'm very like the minister to make a statement on what he said to reduce the queues in the absence of additional staff. Minister Gigaba launched a war on queues that, I don't know what happened to that war. It just disappeared. He lost the war, he ran away. So I don't know what is the plan now going forward. What are we going to do to reduce those queues, Chair? And if we talk about uncollected IDs, can I tell you one of the contributing factors of why we've got so many uncollected IDs is because people don't want to go there to uncollect it. The experience is a nightmare. You know, they have to go spend the entire day to collect the IE document. So that equally is a contributing factor. I promise you, if people can walk in and out of normal affairs in 5 minutes, that figure would have not been as high as it is. So no doubt, the long queues are a massive contributing factor to the large number of uncollected IEs, smart IDs and the green ID books. Then, Chairperson, last year already we were told that we've got these mobile units and the department's trying to sort those connectivity problems out. That was last year. This year, it's now February, they're still dealing with the connectivity problem. So can we just maybe get an idea of when these mobile units will be fully mobile and fully operational and fully connected? The last question, Chair, is the issue around the distribution plan, and I just want to get the comfort knowing, although that I think that the department must engage with community organizations and public representatives to try and assist to distribute these IDs or to reduce the high number of uncollected IDs. I just want to get the assurance that only Home Affairs officials will handle the actual distribution of those smart IDs. Well, smart IDs, yes, I can get it, but the green ID works. That no other person but a Home Affairs official will be dealing with the actual handover and the distribution of the smart IDs. The green ID books. You can't have a situation where people are walking around just handing out ID documents. It's really a problem. But I just want to get that comfort. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson, and I also concur with my colleagues. Chair, I think with the issue of staff is very critical. Why I'm raising it is an adequate to my colleagues. Here in Cape Town, they close at 3 p.m. You stand in a queue, and then when you are about, they will come out and count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then they will say, we are talking here. Everyone should go home. You have been there for the rest of the day. You didn't do anything. It's happening now. One of the staff members from Parliament sent me an SMS last week. Then I said, no, we know about that problem. Because of the staff problem. So it's very critical. We are not blaming them. We know the situation. But I think it has to be taken very seriously. And I think National Treasury now, Chairperson, should call National Treasury and draw their attention on this matter for the last time, because I understand they were called. But I think this is very critical. The second issue I want to talk about is the PCO. Chairperson, I'm taking this to you, because now we are recommending, this must be on record. I'm taking this recommendation to you to ensure that in your chief whip, take it to the chief whip, so that the chief whip must take it to the chief whip forum. This must be discussed. And then all the political parties should take an initiative to take this matter to their principles, and they must be budget for this. Whether they request from Parliament, but they must be budget for PCOs to run this program. Then the second issue is around the media. I would also recommend that the Chairperson should take an opportunity to utilize GCIS. GCIS has got a slot for the Chairpersons of the portfolio committees, so that when you are there, you will be able to speak to 60 community radios once. You will talk to them, they will respond, they will have questions, you will respond to the questions. That is my second recommendation. The other recommendation that the minister
must also draft a statement, so that statement on this matter, requesting, appealing to all people to participate in ensuring that these IDs are distributed, so that in the leader of the portfolio committee, all the committees now should take a responsibility in ensuring that this program is rolled out. So those are my three recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we, because I'm the last speaker, most of the things have been said, but I just want to emphasize one thing. This thing of Home Affairs closing at 11 o'clock sometimes, 12 o'clock sometimes. Here in Cape Town, I also got a complaint, and then this lady was stretching her ID. It was 2 p.m. That is a bit from public service. She said they were there at 2 p.m. They won't let us in. There's other school children wanting to come in for collection. They won't let us in. But they are allowing others to come in for citizenship applications. Much longer. Is this not sabotage? I don't know. But the you collect your document, they are coming for the second time. It should be easy, you're not going to take a lot of time. But now they take somebody from Pakistan and give them this thing. This is not understandable. We can't understand this as South African citizens. You are going to say people are xenophobic, but this is not. I think there are people that are getting some rewards from people that are looking for prizes from these queues. Please make sure that there is adequate supervision. But otherwise, I do agree with the other one. But I think there is a lack of supervision, particularly for those that are collecting. They do not deserve to be weak. Mm-hmm. Some people are working, you ask the day off for an application, that is understood. But now for a collection, it's a day off, and then perhaps it could be 2 days and so forth. This has got to be corrected. There has to be a system. But I believe that there is corruption there, because I can't understand why a person that is applying for citizenship is given preference over a person that is coming to collect their ID document. For further particulars, I can refer you to this person. Thank you. Okay.
Can we get the CG Minister? These are just plain operational things that they said for the minister. That's the mistake, IT book, that's the mistake, travel documents, the core mandate of the department. And I think that core mandate, we are already picking up the challenges, quite a lot of challenges. I think we have no debt.
Just this thing is very urgent. Is it possible that we can get an update every week about the collection of IT? Thank you.
Can you just say, okay, we don't have much time to propose to close the meeting. But I think if it is the point that is made by a number of people to help us with the monitoring, because here it's about how do you oversight and overturn on this matter, and the information that must be given to members for them to be able to interact with the system to assist. We know the issue of the stakeholders, and I know that all the municipalities at the local level, the speakers are part of the stakeholder forum.
near the community, the program that has been established by the department where they distribute IDPs, cards, targeted areas for education, food, water, hospital. Should we have that in place already? The community involved is very much involved. The main issue is, I think, that we're dealing with the disease, but how do we make sure that people, when they are able to get a seat, collect and leave, rather than having to come back after 2 days again, and so they cannot be taken today. Let's look at means and ways for the community to help us. Minister comes from the background of communication now. Not only communication technology. With this experience, we don't have time. We are working on this as well for many years. Both at the security level, at home affairs, is everywhere. I think we all must begin to apply our mindfulness around this sort of technology that we can do. Some of the things with the world we live in today, they're so basic that you are able to put up proper systems and both even yourself. You are the chief officer, you come from that background. I think somehow we may have to, I know it's cost again that comes in, rather than relying on the use of a personnel, but we can see the destructive personnel. And there's a rise of tools on the other side. How then do we begin to balance the two? You know, and in the absence of a proper personnel, the unleashed technology there. I saw it when we went to Marawa Park, and we saw that not only queue management, but we saw the application, online application, that are done in Marawa Park. It doesn't take very 10 minutes, the application is not done and finished, you know. And I think that's something that we must then get out to it and unleash technology for the power application, you know, for with applications. This tradition of the mobile unit must go there, get application, move out, come back after 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. We need to look beyond that. And I know technology is money, but it seems sometimes we can move from such technology that we can use as experiences outside. And since from 1994, when we started with the IT, not even 1994, Minister, so you remember, we started with the IT campaign, IT campaign, when we, in fact, went as far as the first preparation for the first democratic election when people had to register. Remember the late registration, how the campaign was run to get South Africans to get the South African citizenship. You remember the Bantustan, the the Botswana, where people in Botswana still use a Botswana document, those stupid models, and in our own country. That campaign has been running till today. I know that in your communication, your department has issues on the good aspect of communication. And the department sends all of that money. The registration week, you told us that you are putting together a budget of what you're doing, the television or whatever. We were put aside just for the IT campaign in line with the legislation. Some of these things are things we can do with technology around. So, DG, can you respond and then, by taking into account that it will be an ongoing, not only for elections, but to make sure that the Committee of Parliament is able to check the department and also the department that comes on applications that IT boosts the life of the election. Without this, can you talk for us to be very brief on giving the 3 minutes to talk for us so that we can then put the discussion and agreement away from?
No, thanks, Chair. I take the comments and some of the suggestions of the members and the questions. I'll deal with a few. Just to indicate, Chair, that one of the issues that we are considering, I've already met with the CEO of the Post Office. One of the mechanisms that we're considering is that we could use our own offices as enrollment offices. In other words, people when they come to apply, but the collection be at the post office, for example. So that's a mechanism that we're thinking, because they've got over 2,000 outlets. So we can agree that if someone is applying for an ID, let's say here in Cape Town, you can then choose the police station, the post office where you collect from. So the system they can select, so we can list those post offices that
will be enabled to in that regard. So that's the one point that we think of solving this problem. The second problem, obviously, is that people do come in queue for replay of, you say, persons getting married service with the people who are coming to queue applications. And again, you want to redirect that queue to the post office because the reason their holes are not as hectic as they are and they are minimal to them. So it's for us now to finalize the logistics, what exactly is going to be there, what will be involved, what's the cost in that regard, and then we'll be able to do that. So that's one mechanism that we are planning to be able to reduce queues and also deal with the issue of inadequate infrastructure. We also, obviously, in relation to the question to say which stakeholder forum, as I said, I didn't tell you about it today, the department has got a stakeholder forum that we formed with municipalities in particular. So that in the stakeholder forum is mainly the speakers of municipalities that we work with. So we'll also ensure that the IDs are handled by officials. The role of the stakeholder forum members is not to actually to be the officials of home affairs. So I think that matter could be, the committee and the rest assured that it would not obviously that they relinquish that responsibility. The province is in relation to lives captured for banks. We are increasing them. That's why I said 20 more, it's only 25 more. We said that by the specialty 20, but the banks are given us 25 sites. So there will be cases at the end, this day, Malala, and Limpopo. There will also be included in the pilot project as we move forward. On the healing happens when we have, a community outreach. That's when you will see home affairs healing. It's not that there's a healing in all rural areas in relation to that. So I thought I must just clarify that. And also, most of our posters are in offices to school, but also we use those posters to transmit the message in a digital platform. That's why we're saying we utilize the social media. We've created those, like we started even in December, we have travel ready posters. We're now always moving to this one in relation to the elections. I think some of the issues relating to what has been happening in the past in terms of the areas where Mam Chavana mentioned, where people will do that, will use certain areas to allow for applications. I think the point is noted. We are working up, for example, we are renewing the MOU with the Telugu municipality and many other municipalities that we have MOUs with them. The issue of the budget is quite crucial, but I think with the matter of the committee's race, I will leave the issues here and then we will allow the minister to attend to some of the matters.
I'd like to thank the members of the committee for suggestions. Some of the suggestions are already being implemented, especially in relation to TCO, and that's why we're engaging for provincial legislation. Now we'll engage the parliament because that will really help us if we can have our TCO mobilizing these people. Because the challenge is that for smart cars, to get it, you must do this online verification. If we are to maintain the security, we don't want to compromise the security at all. And that's why these cars, which we call mobile trucks, we want them to have that capability of doing live capture so that you can apply there in the rural area but they also collect using your biometrics. Because that is quite very, 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 very important not to compromise. The list we normally give the counselors and speakers, all what we do, we remove sensitive information, your ID, your name and address and which village you come from, and that's where we can distill from which municipality, which area in the municipality you stay. We give that information so that it's easy for the community development workers, MPs, whoever can track this person. They say, please come and collect your ID. And some of the challenges which have come up, because I think the best municipality is performing in this is Matatia. They've got the best model of mobilizing all stakeholders. Mm-hmm. The speaker there, Matapie. Honestly, I've visited many provinces, but she mobilized police to escort them to get cars which are 4x4 and move the organized buses to transport the people those who need to go to online communication. So we are encouraging that type of model. And just to say on the I think much of this high, I don't think it should be so much alarm. I was also very worried. By end of last year, they were having 90-something. They were still higher. But also the production is high. The number of applications is high. So the key thing is to do the analysis of age analysis. Because the majority of these banks are saying that the people applied this year, which is good, not people applied in 2014. So in most of the provinces now, we're left with the recent application. Because people apply, we're producing these things faster than people think we care. The challenge of SMSs has become really a problem. Because what we are supposed to tell is people change this mascot, this card. They check for the cheapest network, which gives them free time at night, and they throw the other one away. They don't tell us. We keep on sending these messages to the phone, which is no more belonging. The person is taken by another person. So that's another biggest deal. That's why we have to track them now by addresses. And we'll be keen, really, to give. We try, and because I just come every day. But we can give you, say, this week, and then give you another week. But we don't tie the week daily, because daily day, it becomes another administrative process to extract that information. But our local offices are able to give the local stakeholders that type of information. So I thought I should just say, we really appreciate now that if you can reach out to members in Parliament, so that your PCO, if we know, we tell the manager there, give the PCO manager information to distribute and track the people's control affairs. I've noted other issues, so I won't go into details now. See, what will really myself, I don't know if the previous minister put this, the campaign still needs to go. But in my short stay, I've been engaging the management. If you're running a live capture, you cannot run any large capture with narrow pipes. So you need a capable network, you need a responsive database, because where the person is just at the end. That thing has to go to a database. They must verify first whether in that database you are in South Africa and reporting it. And they must check your fingerprint, your date of birth. All those things must happen in a short time, but sending your picture and your fingerprint, which is a thing, a picture of your fingerprint, that's a huge data you are transmitting. It may go out of your cell phone or local offices, but if they are many and they are traveling in a small pipe, they can clock. As we are sitting here receiving from some members, in Devon, their offices are offline for 30 minutes, they're up now. Then we ask to send a message, what's the problem? Quite clearly to me, they said there was something wrong centrally. Because you're processing all these things, they come to the same database. But if your pipeline to that database and the capacity of the database is not big, if you can increase that, because that's what will help my DG to deal even with his online application. So she's supposed to go to deeper. To do online application is easy. And they even say, if we can increase our capacity, not point for us to go to there. Because why then bring this? It's all not on there. It's only those who still got high capacity spend. Where do they get this? They get from same telco. Yeah, in South Africa. And it does process quickly because they put bigger pipelines. So those are the things we're going to try and focus and see within the limited resources. We may have to reprioritize pipelines. Because if you can do that, you won't have this thing to function clearly what to say in English. On a plan. Because you go offline and then you take time to reboot and people are waiting there in front of the poor Home Affairs official. I really feel pity for my officials because it's not something in their making that our network architecture. it's not really been designed for this. Because the first thing I ask, if you're saying network, this is 2 meg. Really, that's copper line. That's 2 meg is very small. Overhead ideally should be running a 100 meg line. And you put your finger now, you go, you say, yeah, it is honorable member of Singapore. He tell you in milliseconds, yes, he was born on this date. So that's what we need to increase the work with CETA, to make sure even the database is got faster processors to deal with this information. If we can do that, even with your skeleton staff, which we ask delegation, National Treasury, and Department of Public Service and Administration. But the answer you normally get, don't prioritize within the budget. And it becomes difficult. Where else to cut? Because where we are at the board, it becomes so difficult. I thought I should just raise those issues and ask the members if they can support us if the speakers agree that it will become also our line of communication. All members, not only the chair, to communicate with members of your party, to communicate with the general public, because people can still register until the proclamation day, which will be later this month. The president has not signed the proclamation yet. As soon as we sign, it will be 1 of that. So we really encourage people to continue to collect, apply, and register. Until that day, which is estimated to be around the 26th of this month. So I thought I should just give that to Shepherdson and thank the members for the
No, Minister, thank you very much. I think the issues underlined by members, the largest of the Minister is more about the insurance that both members and members of the family. Being committed experiences that this is what's happening now. In the office in Barack Police, you are told that they are told in the church. So there's no things. I think that is not the office time and return that we chose, and this thing of cutting people maybe informed by shortage of staff, therefore you can only take 20 people a day. Now, ordinary people will not even know that. No one will just go there, take off today, go and collect the ID, and it becomes a problem. We only take one telephone line. We don't even change the number of the school where the child is in the school. We don't even change the number of the school. It's the right telephone number that we are able to try to alert the office or the employment. I'm sure those ID's are available. I know it's a court person. But the whole issue is around what the minister has just said. How, therefore, do we begin to really look at how to digitize the to be a department that is paperless, efficient, and effective for this process? I think the next phase of the solo community will be moving away from the traditional system that we all do. This form, DI what, those things can put them into a system or an online application and all of that. This is what, there's a world of technology now. Who can do that? So I put the experience minister and the knowledge now on systems. DG originally from GG. Who is now in that space? So DG is taken away with the responsibility now. Are you doubling the tool? The one that we asked here, is coming to an end of this month. Is it Hannes, no? Hannes. The company that is taking over is a problematic company which has this thing coming from the police. I'm not saying it's still the same issue, but I wanted to alert you, Minister, but in the police control committee, and not only the police control in the police department, you know, there's a problem with the company that was about to shut them down. If they don't pay them. And I start out with the phone, Now that company is moving to Omaha Bay, we understand. Yes, we understand it's moving to Omaha Bay. They are starting on the first of next month. They are taking over. We have a concern there, but I want to package this thing for our next engagement. Yes, but I wonder, do we really talk about the security of the information of members of the public or the security of the state in the hands of private companies? We'll have to deal with that. We'll have to engage with CETA again on the, you know, all the issues that the minister has just raised around the hype and the narrowing, the feedback, and all of that. There's a great minister that the issue of ID books will just get enough money to move forward. We'll agree that Parliament will have to play a role, especially with this portfolio committee members, in their constituencies. They can declare their constituencies where they operate via the parliamentary lines, and then information can be given to members rather than But the fiscal minister will be to look at home affairs systems, the use of those systems, and the development. Let's find time to deal with that, and then look at once now that ANS is coming to an end, and it was private information, that's the point we're asking. If that company leaves now, it leaves with the information of everybody, the one that comes in. So all that concussion, we need to resolve it. We need to deal with that. And that is going to be scheduled before our last meeting of this portfolio committee. We must be sure that even the new company that is coming in is going to be compliant. We do not want to hold those things. We want to do this about the elections. He might win the elections, they have not paid the company. And he says, I'm going to switch off. Imagine what would happen if they can. But that's something that I think we'll have to further engage about. And I want to thank you very much again for the time and the engagement. I think we find a lot. And we learn more. Minister, you will engage with the committee.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can then come back and minister and look at the issue of mission, where we have now put in place the VFS, what do you call it? VFS, that totally the state ability to process an application and sort of guide. Right? And VFS is now taking charge of all those applications, and as a conduit to the department, even internal here, people can go to home affairs, they need to go to VFS. We have to discuss that thing, so that by the time we close this portfolio committee, all these issues of package and proper for the incoming committee, to follow them up and to deal with such matters. But some of them, we see them as the games that we are supposed to have done now, you know, in the 4 years of the existence of this portfolio committee. A lot has happened, but we are somehow, again, letting it through. You know, we saw it when we deal with the issues of the fire base today. At the airport, we'll see that there's no control, right? So it means that somehow we are going to so we need to close this gap that we have been trying. And thank you very much, colleagues. We will then assess the meeting for next week. I know that the issue of immigration amendment is very key, and the meeting that I'm going to attend now with Chairperson and Minister will have to finalize the legislation that is before the committee. That legislation got to do with the Constitutional Court ruling and the deadline soon. And Parliament by June would not have convened it. You know, and the incoming committee may not have had time to talk about it. What's important will be for us so that it does not fall. We'll be lastly able to table that piece of amendment. Once it's tabled, then it stays on the line, right? And then the incoming committee makes they can just come in and vote. By that time, we'll sort of done a lot of work. So I'm not speaking with the Minister and the Department of Justice. The law that justice has done, we are on our side now to perform and protect our side. And then the police will still have to engage with the police. So for next week's meeting, we may only have only that one item next week, even though we commit, just to deal with that issue of the immigration law. And trying to understand what on that note,
No. I just want to understand why the minister came in with the bodyguards. You don't trust that man.
What bodyguards? Who said to the bodyguards? You don't want to know. Who said to the bodyguards?
You want
to know how much ask? They're not buying their bodyguards. On that note, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.